Dear gracious and kind Heavenly Father, as we are prepared to delve into your word today, I ask that you would be with us in spirit and heart, and that we would attribute these words that you have given, dear Lord, into our lives. Continue to be with us, be with all of those who are sick here today, Father, who couldn't be here today. Be with all of our families, and Father, if it be your will, heal and deliver each and every one of us, Father, so that when you come, we can be ready when you are on your way to come get us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us have ever played with Play-Doh, or as we know it today, clay? We have all at some time or another played with clay. Now, the reason why I give the illustration of clay is because clay can do what? It can be molded. Clay can be molded into any specific shape you want. You can make 1,001 shapes if that's your pleasure. But what is the key to keeping clay in a way that you can form it, right? When you first get clay out of the box or the jar, it's clammy, right? It's moldy, and you can shape it how you want to shape it. How about after you finish with the clay, if you leave it out for 2 or 3 days? The clay is what? Dry. It's unbendable. Can't really do much with it, right? Right? Some of us when clay is at its softest, that is when we can manipulate it how we want it to look. But like we said, what happens to molding clay when we leave it out? It gets dry. There are many Christians who are like that before the Lord. They are hard, brittle, and unbendable. They are set in their ways with their own plans, own agendas, and their own desires. Christians like that wonder why guidance is so hard to find. But it's really not that hard to understand. When your life becomes hard and brittle before the Lord, God speaks to you, but you don't hear. He leads, but you don't follow. He opens the door, but you refuse to walk in. That is why the principle of being bendable, soft clay is the way that we should be before the Lord, because it's then that he can shape us and use us. Amen?
Amen.
We find examples like this in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 says, Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." David says in Psalms 27:11, teach me your way, O Lord. Solomon says, "In all your ways acknowledge him." Isaiah says, "Here I am. Send me." I want to give an illustration that I asked my wife if I can use. I've been doing a little experimenting at my house with toothpaste. Now, I'm doing this experiment for this reason. I like to squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom, right? My wife, my daughter, like to squeeze the toothpaste from the middle. So every time they squeeze the toothpaste from the middle, I'm squeezing it back up. They squeeze it from the middle, and I squeeze it back up. Now, I say this to say this. As human beings, as people, we all have instincts or our behaviors that we are consistently doing, and if we're not paying attention, we continue to do that. But the verses that I just read to you give some very crucial points into God's will. Guidable people always what? Listen. Amen? Why is that? Because God always speaks loud enough for a willing ear to hear. Therefore, there's nothing more important than being open to receive guidance from God. But how will you find the guidance that you need? In one sense, that's a tough question, because God speaks to us in a variety of ways. Amen? He speaks to us maybe through this sermon today. He speaks to us through a scripture that we may read on Wednesday. He speaks to us maybe through a phone call or through a friend. He speaks to us in our own hearts, in our own conscience, when we're alone and we're spending time with him. Amen?
Amen?
There is an amazing passage in Acts 16 that depicts these major ways in which God uses his children for his own good use, and that's why I use the clay. Acts 16:6 through 10 tells us the story of Paul and Silas. Now we know Paul and Silas, this is Paul's second mission. He's on a second mission to Phrygia and Mysia, right? And as they join forces, they are going there to visit the churches, preach the word, and encourage the saints of God. As we shall see, their travel plans changed a lot of times. And Luke depicts the story this way. Paul and his companion traveled throughout the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to go. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of the man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia to help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach the gospel to the Macedonians. Now, when we read this text or we read these verses, we say to ourselves, okay, where's the will of God in that? Right? It's just a man, it's just Paul having a vision of a man saying, come to help us. So where's that? Where's the will of God in that? It is yet in this little slice of history or in this century that God's intentions may be discovered in the ordinary affairs of life. What happens to them most of the time happens to us. So then how does guidance come? Here's the answer to that question. In verse 6, it tells us that Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in Asia. Paul was on a mission to preach the gospel. That was his one motivating factor. That's what actually kept him going. Because if you remember Paul, he was in all kind of dangerous situations. He was shipwrecked. He was held beyond his control. He was on a lot of missions in which he faced a lot of danger. He determined to go wherever he could go to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. The only thing that Paul didn't know was exactly where he was going to do it. Paul's only concern was not about preaching the gospel, but where to preach the gospel. He will continue preaching wherever he found himself to go. That brings me to my next point. In this life, 99% of the time, it's the same old stuff. Isn't it? It's the same old stuff. We wake up. For children, you go to school. For grown-ups, we go to work. We come home. We make dinner. Some of us have school like me. You go to school. Then you go to work. It's the same old stuff, the same old repetition over and over and over again. We get tired of doing the same old thing, right? But that's the way life is. It's the same old stuff. So where do we begin to find the will of God? We begin to find the will of God in the ordinary things in our lives. Amen. You begin by doing what you already know to be the will of God in your present situation. So many of us, though, want that larger-than-life experience. We wanted like the times when God raised up Elisha up in the whirlwind chariot, or when he split the Red Sea, or when he did whatever miracles he did. We want those outlandish, outspoken experiences. Many of us wish these spectacular moments would happen every day. Often when we say, God, show me your will, what we really are implying is, Lord, give me some feeling, some insight, some spiritual surprise. And God says, I've already shown you what I have for you. All you have to do is get up and do it. My point being, what is God's will for a student? To learn so he can teach someone after what he's learned, right? What is God's will for a doctor? To help the sick who need help to be healed. Amen? God's will for a teacher is to do their lessons so that they can teach the class. Here's another twist. For mothers, God has given you children as well as husbands. And, it's not that the only thing he wants to have you do is change diapers all the time. Unfortunately, you're going to have to change diapers, but that's not less than anything else that he's going to give you. That's just a part of the job, okay? For secretaries, it's typing, but it's not less than that. God's will is more than just showing up for a job, but it's not less than that. So many of us want to live on the mountaintop, but that's not where you discover God's will. You discover God's will in the nitty-gritty of the valley every single day. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might." But my question to the congregation today is, why should God show us his will for the future if we are not doing his will in the present? And that is a very powerful question. What do preachers do? They preach. And that's what you see in Acts 16. Willing preachers who are ready to go at any time the opportunity presents itself. They're just looking for the right opportunity, the right door to open, because they are willing to obey the will of God. God is therefore free to show them the next step. Which leads me to my second point. I only have four. This is my second one. Paul and his team wanted to go into Asia, but the Holy Spirit prevented them. My question is, how did the Holy Spirit do that? Me personally, I have no idea. It could have been through various ways. Perhaps there was a stronghold and a Jewish company didn't allow them to get in. Or perhaps maybe a messenger came and brought them the message. Or maybe a prophet came to them. No one knows, but all they did know is that they weren't allowed to enter into that place. So instead, now that that's cut off, they went north. They went into the direction of Bithynia. Why? They intended to preach the gospel there. They still had the same purpose, which was to preach. Only now it was redirected through a sudden change in circumstance. But as they tried to enter into Bithynia, the Spirit also stopped them from going there. The Bible doesn't explain why this keeps happening, but somehow the Spirit of Jesus is telling them, no, they're not to go in. So I tend to think as they were praying, they had a strong impression from the Lord. Somehow the Lord made it clear, don't go to Bithynia. So they headed west to preach the gospel and ended up in a place called Troas. Now, did God make a mistake when he was doing this? You know, what was going on here? Was God revealing his will through a sudden change of circumstances? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Well, you had your whole day planned. Your whole day planned. I mean, this has happened to me too many times. I've had my whole day planned, but for some reason or another, my plans just didn't work out. Somehow, it was intervened and God's will was done on that day. Have you ever been ready to go to a job interview and you were very excited to go to this job interview, but when you went there, they said, you know what, I'm sorry, you know, we made a mistake. It must have been a mistake because we are not looking for anybody. You know, actually, we're downsizing and these positions are not open. Think about that. Or that letter comes in the mail that you've been waiting to get accepted into a class or accepted into something, and then that doesn't fall through. Or how about our retirement funds? We have our retirement funds, and it's all wiped out, and it's not there anymore. Sudden changing in circumstances. Or we become infected with severe illnesses, as we've talked about and prayed about earlier. As we ask ourselves, why is this happening? But Proverbs 16:9 says this, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We may make our plans, but God determines which way we're supposed to go. You know, so the preachers, Paul and Silas, they determined where they wanted to go, but God said, no, I am going to show you where you need to go. And he says, if you still want to follow the way that I'm not telling you, then I will say, okay, I will watch this out and I will show you the way. So I'm not going to get ahead of myself. This quote was taken from The Desire of Ages. It says, every true minister feels a heavy responsibility for the spiritual advancement of the believers entrusted to his care, a longing desire that they shall be laborers together with God. Earnestly and untiringly, he seeks to inspire the believers with a desire to win souls for Christ, remembering that every addition to the church should be one more agency for the carrying out of his redemption, or the plan of redemption. What you and I call circumstance is actually the hand of God moving in our lives. The circumstances that come into our life, whether good or bad, all of them together are from the gracious God of heaven. They are ultimately for our benefit and for his glory. How did Paul decide to go north? In the first place, when the east was cut off. What made him decide to go west? When the north was cut off. So what was left? So he went west and preached the gospel. That's what I mean when I talk about a sudden change in circumstances. And Proverbs 16:9 depicts that. It tells us that it is not by chance that we are directed in our lives the way we are. Who shuts doors and who opens doors? It's God. Who gives opportunities and who takes opportunities? It's God. It's God who leads our lives and gives us what we are supposed to have. Sometimes his will is seen by nothing more than a profound sudden change in circumstances, which leads me to my third point. This happened in Troas, a supernatural event. When they got to the seaport town, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over and help us. Paul was in Troas, which was in Asia, but Macedonia was in Greece, the continent of Europe. In between is the Aegean Sea. What is the meaning or the significance of this man from Macedonia? If Paul goes to Macedonia, he is taking the gospel from one continent to the other, yet fulfilling that which we call today the Great Commission, which is to take the gospel into all the world and preach it to the nation. Amen? Notice the word. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called him to preach there. The word concluding means to discuss the matter with other people and to discuss the alternative to figure out the best way to go and then come to a conclusion. It's a word that implies the strategic use of the mind. It's what happens when you put a puzzle together. You put the pieces together to make it all fit. This particular Greek word was used for taking different colors to thread them together to make a beautiful pattern. But notice that once that Paul and Silas figured out where they were to go, immediately they went. They got ready and they went. Once you determine the will of God, the next step is to just do it. Once you figured it out, don't sit around and talk about it. We have to be about it. Why were they so quick to do it? Because God had called them to preach the gospel. Once you have determined the will of God, what's the next step? To do it. Nevertheless, that brings us full circle to where we started back in the beginning, in the ordinary affairs of life. The reason they went in the first place was because of obedience in the ordinary. They were so committed to doing the will of God, they weren't blown away by a vision. They just fitted it into the bigger picture. And they said, okay, then let's go and do it. Did Paul know in advance who was going to be there or what the outcome was? No. When you decide to do the will of God, will you know anything in advance? No. Because though God shows us his will, he doesn't show us the future. What does he show us? He shows us the next step. God reveals himself to us step by step. So I wanted to give a little illustration, and it's about an electrical man. One day he goes out and he hires a gentleman, and he says, "Listen to me. We're gonna work on this plan, I don't want you to bring a lantern with you." Now, this man brought a lantern anyway with him. So the old man who hired him said, you know, why did you bring this lantern to me? I told you not to bring this lantern. The man was so upset that he brought this light lantern that he told him, you know what, forget it. I'm going to call one of my other partners. She's going to come down here and she's going to help me. The problem is sometimes, what does light do for us when we put light in darkness? It reveals everything to us, right? But this man was so used to doing things his way, that light bothered him that much. But the light is to help us to see in the darkness. When we don't have a light, we can't really see into the darkness. So when we look at it, we may say, you know, it doesn't look too bad. But when that light shines over the place or the farm or wherever we are, it reveals to us the truth about that place, or it reveals to us everything that's in there, so we can see clearly. Amen? Amen. I have another illustration I want to talk about. It's about a light keeper. And I already made my final point, so we're good with that. There was a light keeper, right? He was given oil for a month. This oil was supposed to last him the whole month until the next month. But then there was three people who came into this man, and he owned a lighthouse. He had a lighthouse that he had to watch over. Now, this oil was supposed to be for the lighthouse, for the boats to know where they were supposed to go. But here are three people. One woman came in, and she said, you know what? I need oil for my baby's carriage. Another man said, I need oil for my own lamp. And another woman came in and said, I also need oil, too, for my bike. Go figure. So as the man is handing out all of his oil, his supply is running out. As his supply is running out, now his light is dimming. It's dimming until it goes out. His light goes out. Now there are about 10, 20, 30 tragedies on the sea that night. The investigators come into him and they go, sir, every month we give you enough oil to keep this light burning. Why is it that it went out? The man answers honestly. He says, you know, there were three people who came to me and they needed oil. So, you know, I wanted to do the right thing. So I gave them the oil. The man looks at him and says, this oil is for you to keep watch for the boats so they know where to go, not to be giving it out. The issue is here that he was supposed to keep the oil so that the light can direct people where to go, not to give it away. He wasn't supposed to give it away. He was supposed to keep it so that everyone can know their direction. Our lights, in that sense, are supposed to shine brightly. Amen? We are supposed to be light for those who may not know, those who may be sick, those who may be wherever they are in life. But our light is supposed to shine. And this is what Paul and Silas did. No matter what, they were willing to do the will of God, even if it meant their own lives. They were willing. And the story today is about guidance. Guidance is what we need today. And I want to bring up one more point. Mark 1, 4 through 11 speaks of people of the way. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but it insinuates it. It talks about when John the Baptist was baptizing the people in the Jordan River. You see, people of the way back in those times weren't worried about, you know, things that weren't pertaining to God. They were only worried about the will of God. And I believe as a unit who wants to see Christ, we can't be worried about things that don't matter. We need to worry about the will of God, what God has for us to do, and that is to seek and save souls and bring them into the light, which is Jesus Christ. We can't let our light shine by giving it away or giving up. We have to stay strong. And that's what Paul did. And that was what Silas did. That was their example. Even though they didn't know what was going to happen, they were willing to be guided. We have to be willing to be guided through God. We can't lead God by the hand. We have to let God lead us by the hand. Amen? So, getting back to the people of the way, they weren't worried about what was going on. They went about their business and they did it. If it was going to preach, they preached. If it was going to give encouragement, they gave encouragement. If it was going out to hand out tracts, now I didn't say it in the Bible, but I'm saying I believe that they were willing to do anything for the will of God, to follow God and be guided by God. So my encouragement today, or my word for the day, or my call to action is, how many of us are willing to be led by God truly and fully? Looking at the example of the people in the Bible. I gave you some earlier, Samuel, Isaiah. They are willing, they were willing, they were ready to be sought, to be led by God. How many of us are willing to be led by God today, to do God's will and to keep him in the forefront of our lives? That is my question to you today. I know me personally that I want to be led by God all the way. You know, and we have busy lives, we have families, but God is important and we should let him lead us, because he is the one who can get us through the Egypts of the world. He is the one who brought the Israelites from out of Egypt. Only God can do that. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Only God can. And how did he do that? He did that by the people letting him guide them where they needed to go. Guidance is all throughout this Bible. And the only way we can truly seek God is by letting him guide us. So let that be our word for the day. Let that be our thought for the day. Let God guide you. And ask God, what is your will for me, Lord? What would you have me to do? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.